Well, New Hope Church, it is great to be with you today on a day of celebration, on a day when I hope you are sensing the smile of God, because He's smiling on you today. He's smiling on you as we look back and we celebrate what God has done in the decades that this church has been doing ministry in this community. And He also smiles on us as we recognize the great things He's doing right now, and as we press with courage and faith into what He has in the future. Because God's hand is upon what is happening here at New Hope Church. You know, as I was preparing to come today, I was thinking through the impact this congregation has had in people's lives. And so I asked the question, what impact has this congregation had in my life? And then I began to kind of wind the tape back in my own life and realize that one of my best friend's mom and my pastor's wife, when I was a boy growing up, her father was Pastor Sandberg, one of the first pastors of this church. I learned what it meant to be a pastor by hanging out in their home. And the influence she had in my life is almost a second mom. And I thought back to the days when I was at Trinity, when I was at Ted's, and Dr. Ken Meyer was the president. The days as a young pastor when Dr. Tom McDill was the president of the EFCA. You know, there aren't many churches that I know of that can say they have a former pastor that's been the president of their seminary and of the denomination. But then I think of the other things where God has been even touching my own life through the last several months. It won't surprise any of you that have been here at New Hope Church for a while when I tell you that as a result of the search process leading up to the role that I'm in now, that Pastor Steve Gould was a tremendous encouragement to me and to my wife Becky during those days. That doesn't surprise any of you, does it? That doesn't. And Steve, you know how much you mean to us and the impact you've had. And then I look at even folks in my life right now in ministry. My right hand in the president's office, Paula and her husband Dale and their family are here as a part of this church. Jot and Marietta Turner. Jot is one of the senior vice presidents with me in the national office and an elder here. And just last week, Thursday and Friday, I was up in Vancouver, British Columbia with Pastor Matthew at the Trinity Western University Board of Governors meetings, and we had a delightful dinner together on Friday night. And then I thought, if this church has touched my life in those ways, how many hundreds and thousands of people over the history of this congregation's lives have been touched by the love of Jesus Christ through the ministry? So I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Philippians, because the Lord has really clearly brought my heart on several occasions as I've been thinking about this morning to these verses in Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. After his normal introduction to the letter, Paul writes this starting in verse 3 of chapter 1. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and to the praise of God. Now, when I think about the whole idea of what Paul is doing in this passage, as he writes to the people that were in the very first church that he helped to plant and start in the move of the gospel into Europe, I was thinking, who would have been there that first day when this was read as the church in Philippi gathered? Do you think Lydia and some of the women that were at that prayer time that Paul came to on the riverbank when he first shared the gospel with them, do you think they were there? Maybe the young girl who was delivered from the demon that because of that landed Paul and Silas in jail. Probably the jailer and his family and maybe even some of the other prisoners were there. People that had come to Christ from the early days of the church. And for Paul to be able to say to them, I thank God every time I remember you. I pray for you with great joy in my heart because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day till now. And the word partnership is that word we call fellowship. It's koinonia. It's the sharing something in common. You know, and I thought back to this particular congregation. Who would have ever thought that the vision of two people with 500 leaflets going door to door in the city of Crystal that ended up starting a Bible study would lead to the ministry of New Hope Church today? And you think of the number of people over the decades that have served in leadership, that have taught the Word of God faithfully, that have been involved in this congregation that would be that, I thank God every time I remember you with joy in my heart as I pray for you because of your partnership in the gospel to today. And over the last couple of decades of ministry, as Pastor Steve and Pam have been here, and to see the heart for people to come to know Jesus in this community as it's been changing, and then to see them grow deep in their walk of faith and the impact the gospel has had through this congregation, literally, not only in this city, but around the world. A partnership in the gospel. But look at verse 6, because he goes on to say something extremely important. He said, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Who began the work? Our Lord, our God did. It's important to remember all the exciting things that you're seeing happening here at New Hope Church and recognizing that as this next chapter in this amazing story of the life of this church is begun to be written in your hearts and in the ministry in this community, that the ministry of this church does not belong to Pastor Steve or Pastor Matthew or the elders or to you. It belongs to Jesus. And so who's the one who's going to bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus? He will. And we rest in the fact this is God's church. He started the good work. He's going to bring it to completion. So we trust in him. But then look at verse 7. Because Paul goes on to say, it's right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. Friday night at dinner, Pastor Matthew and I were talking about the significant relationship there is between a pastor and the congregation that he serves. It's a relationship, a very special relationship of deep and abiding love as you give, serve, and walk with one another over a period of time. In fact, back in February, when it was announced across the EFCA that the Board of Directors of the Evangelical Free Church of America was placing my name and nomination to be the next president of this movement, after a week of just crazy meetings, just from meeting with the Board of Directors to district superintendents from around the country to everyone you could think of in the national office, we got to Sunday morning after a crazy week. And we got up early and I looked at Becky and I said, so what do you want to do today? We really have nowhere we have to be. And she looked at me and smiled and she said, you think we can get to Winona in time to get to their second service? You see, we served a church in Winona, Minnesota for 12 years. A church that when we came there had experienced deep brokenness and pain. And I remember as we came, I sat down with some of the leaders and I said, so what does this church really need? And I remember one of them looking at me and he just looked with tears in his eyes and he said, you know what we need, Kevin? We need somebody who can teach God's word to us and who can love us. And that day I looked at him and I smiled and I said, you know, I'm not real bright, but I think I can do those two things. And so for 12 years, we just loved on those folks. And you know what they did? They loved us back. And we taught the scriptures and there was a unique relationship built during that time. And so on a Sunday when my name and picture had been all over the place for this new potential role, you know where we wanted to go? Someplace where they loved us and it didn't matter what I was going to be or do. Because they just loved us. That's the kind of relationship that happens between a pastor and the congregation. But keep reading with me because the text goes on in verses 9, 10, and 11 to end this passage where he says this. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and with all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. It's Paul's prayer. But I believe that this could be the prayer of every pastor for the church that he would lead. Couldn't you imagine? You know, Pastor Matthew, let's say we're 10 or 20 years from now, and we look back and you read this verse, these verses, and for you to say, you know, what we're seeing in the lives of the people at New Hope Church is that their love is abounding more and more. They're coming to know more about God, and there's a sense of discernment in what it means to live for Him. And people are living lives that are reflective of the character of God in holiness. And they're out in the community and they're living among people and showing Jesus to them. That's the prayer that I have for you. And it's the prayer that I believe God wants to answer in your hearts. A prayer where disciple making is not simply an add-on to the ministries of the church, but it's an integral part of everything that you do. Of saying, how do we have more people come to know Jesus, and then more of us who know Jesus becoming more like Him? How do we do that in everything we do? And it's stepping back and saying what we want to see is spiritual maturity and growth being lived out. My friends in East Africa talk about what they call the Monday church. They say the church on Sunday gathers for instruction and fellowship and worship, and then the church on Monday scatters around the community for ministry service and to show people Jesus. Can you imagine the impact in this community as you as a congregation do that? It's seeing you grow deep in your walk with Christ. It's an amazing transition we're in today. A transition from what God has done over decades of ministry in this congregation, this amazing story that the Holy Spirit is writing in this congregation, and a new chapter, the page has been turned and a new chapter is started. And as you start that new chapter with Pastor Matthew and Krista as they're here and giving leadership to the ministry in this congregation as the under-shepherd, recognizing Jesus is the shepherd of the church. And Pastor Matthew is the under-shepherd. I just have four things I want to encourage you to do. And they're really fairly simple. The first, would you love Pastor Matthew and Krista and their family? Would you just come around them and love them? And let them know how much you appreciate them? And think of ways to be able to just encourage them. You see, we served for 12 years at a church in San Jose, California, and during that time in 1999, our oldest son, one of our twin boys, was diagnosed with a very rare form of bone cancer. For over a year, he went through 22 rounds of chemo. He was hospitalized 26 times. They amputated his leg at the knee. We saw the majority of the children with that type of cancer die during the treatment time Brad went through. Praise God, he's very much alive today and is married and has two twin boys, and he has a third child on the way, going to be due just in a couple of weeks. But you know, thank you. That is a wonderful thing. But you know what we saw during that year? We saw a congregation love on us like I've never seen anyone loved on. Two women picked ironing up every Monday morning and dropped it back on Friday so I'd have pressed shirts to wear. People came and cleaned our home and washed our windows and fixed our cars. And they went and sat with our son at the hospital when we couldn't be there. And they took our other three children to school and they brought food to us. And they just stopped and prayed with us and they were there for us. And my son Brad, who had the cancer, his twin brother today is a church planter in San Francisco. And I was at one of their early services of the church he's starting. And as Brent was sharing, this is what he said to this group that is in his first house church. He said, you need to know one of the reasons I'm a pastor today is because I watched a church love on my family in the darkest time of our lives. So love him. Would you love them? And the second is pray for them. Pray for Pastor Matthew and Krista and their family. Would you pray four things for them? Pray the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Pray wisdom from above. Pray that they would that Pastor Matthew would have favor with people that he works with, and pray for their protection. So it's empowerment, wisdom, favor, and protection. Can you pray those four things for them? But I want to ask you one other thing. Don't just pray for them. Pray with them. As you sense God moving in your heart and you see Pastor Matthew or Krista around the facility here on Sunday and God's moving in your heart, could you stop and say, could I just pray for you right now? Do you know what a 2 or 3 minute prayer means? Or maybe you want to say, I'm going to call Pastor Matthew and get an appointment to see him and walk into his office and surprise him by saying, I'm not here to complain about a thing, Pastor Matthew. I'm just here to pray for you and bless you. Do you know what that would mean to him? So love them, pray for them. And thirdly, serve alongside him with joy. You see, this isn't Pastor Matthew's church, it's Jesus' church. Would you commit to walk alongside him with joy as you serve Jesus together? And then lastly and simply, would you follow his leadership and the leadership of the elders and the leaders here of the church as they follow Jesus? So that what God would want to do here, seeing disciple-making culture being raised up, a congregation grounded in the Word of God that's lived out in people's lives where people are being transformed, that is what is being seen. Because I want you to know with all my heart, I believe there are some incredible things in store in the days to come for New Hope Church. And may God do it to His glory as you walk side by side with Pastor Matthew and Krista. Lord Jesus, now I pray your hand of blessing, your empowerment, and your good work at New Hope Church. And may the great things that we've seen up to this point be but a beginning for a significant move of the Spirit of God in the days to come, so that Jesus would be held high and look good in this community and he would draw people to himself, to his glory. And I pray in his glorious name, the name of Jesus, amen.